Definitely. Definitely want a podcast.
And welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, brought to you by the Dynasty Football Network and DynastyFootballFactory.com. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. And I'm here with my partners, Jeremy Broen.
You can find me on Twitter at DFF underscore Madman.
There you go. And Shane Manila.
I'm an excellent podcaster. Definitely an excellent podcaster.
And you can find him at DFF underscore Shane. And, you know, let's get right into this. I mean, we're a couple hours removed from a big trade in the NFL.
Shut up! Oh, it wasn't on mute.
I guess he wasn't talking to you.
Yeah, no.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, and he wasn't talking to me, no. But like I said.
How about now? Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
God damn it.
We can hear you. Okay. And it's so perfect that you followed up by saying I'm an excellent podcaster with all that crap you just did. But let's jump into this. You know, in the real NFL, we had a trade today. A couple hours ago, Carlos Hyde was traded from Jeremy's Browns over to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And there's like a ripple effect through Dynasty for all these different running back values. So what did you guys think? Jeremy, were you upset about Hyde leaving, or are you happy about Hyde leaving?
No, I think there's kind of a log jam there. It's interesting that they did it now. I know he hasn't been playing super great. He's been okay for them, but, you know, not as good as Chubb. Although Chubb hasn't had the same number of carries. Torn, I always like Hyde. I'm an Ohio State fan and a Browns fan. I like that they finally had a backfield that included guys that were, you know, capable and could do all that stuff. But, I mean, it's clear that they drafted Nick Chubb to be the starter, all that. I love him. I can't wait to see him play. So I hope he doesn't get hurt because, you know, there isn't really a big body behind him. It's just him and Duke Johnson. They don't really have anybody else that matters for fantasy football at any rate. But I'm liking it because I get to see Nick Chubb. But I'm a little sad to see Hyde go at the same time. I'd like him to be a backup here, but that probably was never going to happen. I mean, they got a fifth-round pick out of it. I know they like to haul in those draft picks, so I think it works out for the Browns. And I think it works out for fantasy football, too. All of us that own Nick Chubb get to see him take off, much like Baker Mayfield, and Hyde will get a shot to, you know, split carries in Jacksonville. So hopefully it works out all around for fantasy.
Shane?
Yeah, Carlos Hyde's not good.
3 yards per carry through you.
Yeah, so just doing, you know, looking at stats because I had some time before the show to just stare at my computer. So I was just looking up some Carlos Hyde stats compared to T.J. Yeldon, who Jacksonville already had for free. They didn't have to trade for him. He was already on their roster. So Hyde averages 3.4 yards a carry. Yeldon, 4.5 yards a carry. Hyde has 6 receptions on the year. Yeldon has 25. Yards per reception, Hyde is averaging a sad 4.8 yards, where Yeldon's averaging 8.9 yards per reception. Yards per touch, Hyde's coming in at a stellar 3.4, just 56th at the running back position. Yeldon is 5.9 yards per touch, which is 15th. And then the only thing that fantasy players care about, fantasy points per game. Hyde's 12.8, which is 23rd, and that's all volume and touchdowns. And Yeldon is 17 points per game, which is 11th. He's a running back one right now. So if you look at the advanced metrics, it's even worse because Carlos Hyde has a negative production premium where T.J. Yeldon has a positive production premium. Like, they're on completely two opposite things. One's at the, what do you call that, spectrum? Yeah, they're two different parts of the spectrum here. T.J. Yeldon's actually been a very good running back this year, and most of last year, actually, too, where Carlos Hyde has just basically been human rubbish on the field. And if it wasn't for volume, he wouldn't really be an abject failure this year.
So when we say there's a ripple effect by the trade, there's players like Jeremy says, Nick Chubb, T.J. Yeldon's affected by it, Leonard Fournette's affected by it, Duke Johnson's affected by it. So of all these running backs, which one do you think it's obvious by looking at Twitter that Chubb's stock like went through the roof. But out of all those running backs, which ones are you guys like going to try to go after or not go after or try to sell high as quick as you can?
I'll never stop going after Nick Chubb, regardless of the cost. He's one of those guys that you try to get on your team. I don't think he's far off of Saquon Barkley as far as talent and you know, his metrics and everything that go along with it. At one point in time, he was considered to be like the number one running back in Devy circles. And then, you know, before his knee injury, possibly the number one overall running back before Saquon Barkley took that crown. So he's a guy I'm going to go after all the time. You know, still at this point, you know, weeks and weeks ago, we talked about Nick Chubb and his elusive rating and his breakaway percentage and how good it was. And he's still leading the at the top of the charts over all the other running backs. So he's primed for success. So people still have to go get him. Also, if you're a patron, you would have known weeks and weeks ago that we were all about Nick Chubb eventually taking over in Cleveland at some point this year. Little did we know it would take a trade to do that. But I think the value for Duke Johnson is the same or better. I don't know about Fournette. And I think this does impact Yeldon because for a while we were riding him like the number one back there. I think Nick Chubb will do a pretty good job there. And I really do think they'll try to do more of a committee approach there. I'm just saying if you were already a Yeldon or a Hyde owner, you kind of took a little bit of a negative impact with this trade because Yeldon had that backfield to himself while Fournette was out. And now neither one of those guys is leading the backfield. Chubb, you know, without Hyde in Cleveland, he was a leader. You know, he was leading that backfield. And so now you have two guys on the same team that were leading backfields that are not. So that's a ripple effect right there for in the negative for fantasy. We'll see how that shakes out.
Well, one good thing is they don't expect Hyde to play this week, obviously, because he just puts today Friday. It's Friday. So it's kind of hard to join a new team Friday afternoon and then start Sunday.
2 days later.
Yeah, it's not baseball. So. Even though, you know, running back, you know, there's all the blocking assignments you have to pick up and things like that. Because if you don't know those, you could legitimately get your quarterback murdered. Like, I'm pretty sure Josh Rosen died last night. Rest in peace.
His fantasy value was hurt. That's sure. Good.
I'm still buying Yeldon. And I think, you know, not this week, obviously, because he's still going to be the starter. So he's going to get some run. But Yeldon's a guy that I'm going to add to my list to check in later in on the season, maybe week 12 or so, maybe closer to the playoffs, assuming your league allows you to trade, you know, when Fournette's back and he's looking like he's, you know, Fournette, when he's healthy, he's a great running back. And then they have Carlos Hyde in the mix and, you know, Yeldon, it'll be, I don't know how much work he'll get. He's a guy that, you know, with being an unrestricted free agent, and he was, what, the 36th pick a couple years ago in the draft. He's a guy that I'll buy low on maybe around week 11 or 12 once Fournette's, you know, fully back. And like I said, they got Hyde in the mix. He's not going to get a lot of work. He's going to get forgotten. Some folks in your league might not know that he's a free agent in the NFL. So that's a guy I'll be grabbing right there.
Do you think if you tried today or tomorrow morning or so, you might get a good shot on Yeldon right now because everybody's so down on it because of the high trade today?
Yeah, but I think if you're smart, you'll wait a few weeks and let him get completely buried where, you know, he's having games where he's touching the ball 3, 4, 5 times, you know. Tonight isn't that night. I'm thinking people realize that, you know, he's going to be the starter on Sunday. And then after that, like I said, let it play out a little bit. Let his value decrease a little more and then start throwing out some late seconds and things like that. Or, you know, teams will be making the playoff push. They'll have specific needs and maybe he'll be able to fill them.
Yeah, I know.
Yeldon told me out. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, I was just going to say, I have Chubb in 5 of my leagues, and I can't even tell you how many trade offers I got today for Chubb. And Jeremy's shaking his head. In the one league that Jeremy and I are partners in, Shane sent us a trade offer for Chubb today, right?
Yeah, damn straight, because today and tomorrow are the last time you can pay a discounted price for Chubb.
You believe that? You still think you can get a discount?
No, I'm
saying
the price
went up as soon as the trade was made, honestly.
But what I'm saying is relative to what he's going to do. So come Monday, after he's ran for, you know, 75 yards and 2 touchdowns and 3 receptions for 40 yards or whatever he puts up, I mean, the kid's going to ball out. So basically, if you don't get in now, this is the cheapest. Yesterday would have been the cheapest you could have got him. Every day this, you know, going forward, his price is going to be increased and you're not going to be able to afford him. So I'm shooting out offers in the hopes that, like, maybe someone's like, oh, I'll cash in on them. I never really liked them that much because maybe they don't, you know, watch football or or read words or go on fantasy football websites, but for some reason they play fantasy football. And they just
all these offers that all these offers that were sent out for Chubb now, I wonder what those guys are thinking, seriously, because on the show a lot we talk about buying low, selling high. I mean, you know, of course, you want to profit. You want to buy something before it takes off. It's cool to buy a Ferrari as long as you're driving a Ferrari and, you know, you get what you pay for. But if you pay for a Ferrari and drive a Prius, that kind of sucks. And people do that all the time, too. But the thing that really gets to me is right after this trade is made, everybody, like Sipes just said, everybody's coming after Chubb in these leagues. Why not go for Chubb weeks and weeks back in the anticipation that sooner or later this guy's going to start? You follow me? I think it's great that people are willing to throw a lot at you to get Chubb from you. Cool. But I wonder what they're thinking. Because, I mean, you don't always want to do that. I mean, sure, go out once in a while and pay for that number one back, get Saquon Barkley, get Patrick Mahomes. But by and by, you're not going to – you're going to spend all your – you're going to spend your wad, you know? You're going to blow your load on just a couple guys. You don't generally want to do that much.
Well, like I said, what I'm thinking is, and the way I'm thinking on the offers that I've sent out is, all right, I didn't acquire them before. I only have them in, I don't know, 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 leagues. I forget. I have them in a few leagues.
4 or 5 or 12.
Yeah, I have them in a few leagues. It's you know, some of my leagues aren't on MFL, so I can't do that handy little, like, oh, I've got him in these 8 leagues, and he's starting.
That's the best.
Oh, I love that tool, but it doesn't work when for my FFPC leagues. I'm like, well, why isn't this telling me how many guys I own them in FFPC? Yeah. I don't care if it's a different platform. That's not fair to me.
I have yelled at him in several spots, man, and one, you know, the Scott Fish Bowl, our listener league, and he's been a blessing so far. You know, he's 10th in PPR points as far as running backs go. He's right up there with Christian McCaffrey right now, tied. He's just ahead of Philip Lindsay, right behind David Johnson, who's sucking up the place because of, you know, the situation out there. But I mean, he's right there in the mix of all that, and I don't want to see that change because he's helped me out on a few teams where I really needed a running back. So I personally want to see Yeldon keep it up, but, you know, if he does maintain, I might try to get something for him before Fournette comes back 100% because I don't know that his value will ever get this high again. Who knows? But, you know, as far as value, the ebb and flow, I'm going to try to get something for him rather than not be able to use him like in the old days when Fournette was getting all the carries. Until Fournette gets hurt again, I get it.
Oh, and just back to Chubb. So my thought process, like I said, on sending out offers today, and I had sent out offers previously. But
my thought process, me want good running back, Chubb good running back, I send offer. That's how I am with stuff like that.
Well, I'm just, like I said, if he's going to be, today's about the cheapest you're probably going to be able to buy him for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, going forward, sure.
Yeah, it's just, you know, if he does what everyone thinks he's going to do, he's, you know, his value is only going to climb until, you know, he's hit the decline of his career. So,
well, one of the things that happened for me today, and, you know, we'll jump right into a trade alert. I ended up doing a trade in the Devy League.
Trade alert.
Thank you. In the Devy League that we do for DFF. For whatever reason, I've got some injuries. I've had a bad run this year. So I'm 0-6 in that league. I was driving today to work and I got a trade offer. So I looked at it and, I was offered 2 Devy players, Damian Harris and A.J. Brown, Rashard Penny, a 2019 first and a 2020 first, all for Joe Mixon.
Damn.
Yeah, and like I said, I was driving, you know, so I pulled over and I looked at it and I was like, I'm 0-6 in that league and I can use some Devy players that, you know, we all know Devy players may be something, may not be something, but both of these gentlemen, both of these guys are pretty highly ranked on a lot of lists and 2 first round picks and Rashard Penny. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to do it. So I accepted it. And then within, like, I think it was 15 minutes later or so, everything blew up on the internet about the high trade and I looked at my roster and I have Nick Chubb. So it's like I traded away
the game soon, man.
Yeah, I traded away Joe Mixon, got all that stuff, and then all of a sudden I got a starting running back with Nick Chubb. So what
and
do you
Joe
guys
Mixon, you just got him recently from well, maybe it was off season, but not too long ago. You weren't the original owner. You
no,
didn't
I
draft
got,
him.
Right.
You traded for him from Mike Goins, didn't you?
I did in the off season this year.
What did you give for him? You know, because that kind of wraps it all up for me as sort of a net thing, you know, not a a gross trade, but like, what was the net? Like, what did you give up for Mixon in the first place? Because you made a good trade to get Mixon. You gave up some.
I gave up Michael Gallup and Cooper Kupp and a first round pick, and in that it's a Devy league for Joe Mixon. So, but this was. Yeah. It was in March, it says. It was in March. So that's what I gave up to get Joe Mixon.
So basically you traded Cooper Kupp, a first, and what was the other player?
Michael Gallup
for what was your haul again today?
Damian Harris, A.J. Brown, Rashad Penny, a 2019 first, and a 2020 first.
So, yeah. So you have a top top five wide receiver in this draft. Damian Harris has been talked about as I've seen him kind of not all over the place, but definitely within the top five.
Probably a better pro than he's been in college. One of those guys, you know, he's got.
Yeah, so I like that. And I like Mixon, and I still like Penny. I mean, I understand people are upset because he's not playing. That's conducive to fantasy scoring. It is hard to score from the bench. But he will play. He will play eventually, and he will be good. Because when I've seen him play, the few plays that he's actually got to run the ball, he's looked good. He doesn't look like he knows how to pass block, but whatever. That's not his bag, so that's okay.
And I think for me, it goes back to what we talked about last week and the week before about when is it time to start moving some of your pieces to get. Like my friend Greg says, a meaty sack, get some other pieces that might help you in the future.
I'm going to give Greg a meaty sack one of these days.
But I was happy with it. And like I said, there was just that bonus 15 minutes later that all of a sudden Nick Chubb became the starter guy.
Plus you got a 2019 one, whereas you gave away a 2018 one, right?
Correct. I like that. So before we finish up with the news, we need to get a word from our sponsor. So here's gtbets.eu.
Are you looking for some action on today's games? Then head over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs. Get up-to-date odds covering all major sports. gtbets.eu is easy to use. Their simple registration process will have you placing your first bet in minutes. And if you register today, you can earn up to $500 of free money. Now that's a great reason to head over to gtbets.eu, an official sponsor of the Dynasty Football Factory. Simply add Dynasty Trades HQ in the referred by field to earn a 100% welcome bonus. GTBets.eu, it's game time.
So, fun fact. I laid money on the game last night.
You did, really?
I put a little parlay on. I said, Arizona can cover. And
you never cease to surprise me, man.
And I took the over. The over went well. Arizona did not hold up their end of the bargain.
No.
That was maybe the worst offensive performance that I have ever seen in a football game. And mind you, I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan who was of age and old enough to remember Rich Kotite calling plays. That was a fucking abomination. Mike McCoy, thankfully, was fired today. And I hear people saying, like, I don't wish anyone being fired. I wish that guy being fired.
So do I, man. He's
like, why are you feeling bad? Like, I don't get the – why are we feeling bad for offensive coordinators that probably make – I don't know. What do you think they make, $1 million a year? Like, the guy's been in the league long enough. If he doesn't have any money saved, well, then fuck him. He's a degenerate. I don't care if that guy loses his fucking job. I care when, scouts and the guys that don't make – and the quality control coaches, when they get fired, because those guys don't make shit. I feel bad for those guys. The offensive coordinator. Especially guy. He's been a head coach and he's shit.
That's what I was going to say. He's one of those guys that...
Arizona, they don't have everything that you need for like a super playoff team, a Super Bowl team. But I do remember how they played last year. Would it be so hard to just like, hey, let's just, what's working well coming into this, I'm going to run this new business. What's working well? What's not working? David Johnson was working well before he got hurt. things were fine. They got a different quarterback. I get it. Larry Fitzgerald's been there since the dawn of time, and he's been awesome since day one. Why go in there and just totally be like, you know what? I really want to fuck this offense up so it doesn't work anymore. Because that's pretty much what happened.
Well, it goes back to the whole recycling of everything in the NFL. You know, they recycle coaches. Yeah, they recycle.
They recycle the same garbage white offensive coordinators. But Steve Wilkes, who's not white, he's garbage too. And you know, and one of the things that gets overlooked is that he just completely revamped the defense, which I find hilarious because so you have a team that was a good 3-4 defense. You get there and you're like, no. This needs to be a 4-3 because that's what I run. No, idiot. You tailor the system to what your players are good at. Any good manager does that. Yes, there's certain schemes and certain roles in certain systems you want to put in place. You don't do that overnight when your team was built to be a 3-4 defense. But anyway,
it was a good defense for a long time. I still have one team where I have a defense, team defense, and 2 years ago, I think it was, 2 and 3 years ago, that defense was amazing. I actually won a championship game because of how many points they put up for me that won. I mean, that was a sought-after fantasy defense. It had assets, and now it's nothing. I mean, it's like nobody wants that
offense. Well, one of the things they talk about, too, with the recycling of stuff, McCoy, I heard them talking on the radio today that McCoy was there when Melvin Gordon didn't score a touchdown that season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then he leaves, and Melvin Gordon's like this monster touchdown scorer. So one of the things I was thinking is, so does this affect the David Johnson value? Because he's been shit for the last couple of weeks, you know?
Yeah, I tried to get him.
And now McCoy's gone, and Brian Leftwich is now the offensive coordinator.
Byron.
I was surprised. I was like, hey, I didn't realize he wasn't playing anymore. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so he's the offensive coordinator. So does this jump up David Johnson? Like, for the people that paid a lot for him, are they happy now, or what's going on?
I hope he gets to baseline again. I mean, good God, he's been like subpar for this whole season. Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely boosts his stock for sure. Guys got to be thinking that he's going to be better, either trade for him or want more for him. I mean, I almost got him at a steal a couple weeks back, and I didn't pull the trigger. I didn't really like the deal, but I was trying to get him then because I expected, you know, he's a good back, and it's going to change. What do you think, Shane?
Here's what's funny. Everyone's bitching about his production. He was the running back 14, 16, 14, 10, and 16. He's got a running back 43 finish, second game of the season. I don't even know what he did last night because I didn't really look at the stats because it hurt my eyes. But for the opportunities that he's actually been given, he hasn't been bad.
He's a good back. Yeah, they just haven't used
him. And what's funny is people were talking, and I hadn't watched a lot of Arizona games. I had watched some of it, and you know, I knew it was bad coaching. But getting to watch them in prime time, when that's the only thing you can focus on, and you're just like, "Hey, David Johnson's running into a fucking 8-man box when these guys are down 30 points. Like, why are you doing that? Right up the gut. Every run is right up the gut with no deception. There's no pulling. There's no off tackle stuff. There's no pitches. Nothing. Just like, hey, you run forward."
Fast back like that, you don't want to send him up the middle into 8-man fronts. I mean, that's not really his game. I mean, you're just kind of wasting. You're not using his strengths. You're clearly either clueless, you don't know the talent on your team, or you haven't watched him for every year up until this year. Like, you should know that how to use the guy. They've done it successfully for years. So
it's pretty bad. Pretty bad. Yeah. So McCoy is awful. And you know, they were pretty much talking about him being fired during the game, and Troy Aikman, you know, just about said it when he said something to the effect of like, "Well, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of changes in the next 10 days." Well, yeah, honestly, I think Steve Wilkes should be fired as well for even hiring McCoy. Or if it wasn't his hire, then the GM needs to be fired. And if it wasn't the GM that hired him and it was the owner should be forced to sell the team.
Well, one thing I thought of too that you just said.
Real quick. Yeah. I guarantee you Mike McCoy is working in the NFL somewhere in the next 2 years because that's what they do. Just keep recycling these same trash ass.
Probably next year.
It was. It's so funny. Stuff. That was one of the things I was going to ask you. I was going to say, how long do you think it is before he gets hired again? But the other thing too, with the David Johnson thing, one thing you guys said, you know, in a lot of these leagues, we all play in a lot of leagues, and yeah, we're in leagues with people that we know on Twitter and in our websites and all that stuff, but we're also in leagues where people aren't as active of looking at news every day. So there are people out there that have no idea that Mike McCoy was fired. And you might be able to grab David Johnson, you know, today, tomorrow, Sunday morning in a trade, thinking that he's going to get better, and the other people may not even know.
I can't imagine I'd play in any leagues like that, to be honest with you. Most of my leagues have DM threads where the guys never shut the fuck up.
They try to screw up your own moves and trades. I'm in leagues with some of your buddies, man, and those guys definitely love to talk trash and, like, screw with your trades or any moves you make. And, you know, what's that called, like, in an auction draft when guys chime in and try to affect the value?
That's the worst.
You know, just being dicky. What's that called?
Dick move?
Yeah, that's the worst. But you know what? You know what's pretty funny?
It's just bad. Unethical or something.
I used to say I get all my news first from Twitter, but it's actually coming down to the fact that I get a lot of my news first from some of these DM chats from the leagues we're in. You know, somebody Well, that's how I knew Hyde was traded first.
No one works. Yeah, best I can tell, Jeremy, nobody works. And I was thinking that on Friday when you were harassing me at like 11 in the morning, or it wasn't even Friday. I'm sorry, it was Thursday. And I'm like, dude, I'm swamped at work. And then 117 other text messages came through about a trade.
I don't text you that often. No, though. But usually it's about trades. I'm like, Shane, what do you think about this one? And I usually, when you respond back, it's what I already had in the back of my mind. And I do the same thing to Sipes. Usually I send it separately.
Yeah.
Because I don't want it to. I don't want it to be biased in any way, and I'll send it in. And you guys almost always agree with the side that I think is, you know, either the side that, you know, it's usually not my side. I just keep what I have because the offer is not good. But I do it that way because I need sometimes, am I thinking about this right? Am I biased? And you guys always help me out by doing that.
That's funny. I never realized that. So, yeah, I get that because you do ask me some questions on the side instead of saying it in the chat between the three of us. I never realized you were doing
sometimes
it to see what.
Do,
what I say and then what Shane says, just see it doesn't affect each other.
If it's funny. It's funny or something ridiculous, and I think maybe it's good for the show or something worthy of talking about. But if it's a trade that somebody offers me or that I'm trying to get done, I send it to you guys separately. Kind of.
That's cool.
As a poll to see what you guys think.
The other news that happened that had a ripple effect again on running backs is Marshawn Lynch. You know, it's looking like he's going to be gone for a while, if not placed onto IR. So, you know, that situation is already weird over there. So who do you guys like better? Do you like Jalen Richard? Do you like Doug Martin? DeAndre Washington?
Nobody likes Doug Martin.
Well, I mean, this is what's left. I agree with you, but this is what's left. I mean, for me, Jalen Richard, I have him on a bunch of rosters, so I'm very happy about that. But, you know, the guys that are left there, what are you guys thinking? I mean, that whole team is a train wreck anyways.
You're a train wreck. But no, yeah, that team.
What are you, 14? That's what my son says all the time.
That you're a train wreck? You might want to get your life in order, my friend.
No, no. I mean, when I say a word, he goes, you're the... Oh, shut up. Whatever. All right, so yeah.
The Raiders would have drafted somebody, you know, that we could use in fantasy, because these guys, I don't really care. You know, Doug Martin, who cares? I guess it's Jalen Richard. For all intents and purposes right now, but I'm not going to pay a lot. You used to be able to get him for free off the waiver wire. Now what are you going to do?
Jeremy's point, like, oh, you could have gotten Jalen Richard free off the waiver wire, you know, beginning of the season. That's true. You also could have gotten Adam Thielen off the waiver wire for free about 2.5 years ago. And I remember doing a waiver wire article for Dynasty Football Factory. I don't even know. Way back, you know, before he broke out. And I remember touting him and some other white wide receiver. And I was like, it ain't white boy day, is it? But that's why that always sticks with me. What? True Romance. You've never seen True Romance?
Anything? No, I know. It just, you crack me up sometimes. But all right. Yeah, so what do you think about Jalen Richard?
Jalen Richard, I like him. Apparently, he has no athleticism. Looking at his workout metrics, he's in the first percentile. That's bad. That's not good. So apparently, he's slow. He's not agile. He can't bench press and he has no burst score, but shit if I care, because so far this season, my man's been a running back 16,
yep,
running back 30, 38, 29, and 21. He also does have a running back 83 thrown in there, which is not good, but he didn't get any receptions or targets. So he doesn't get a lot of carries and he shouldn't. But he's an excellent receiver. I mean, he's seeing, you know, 11, 7, 5, 6, 8 targets a game.
Yeah.
So that's probably going to continue. I think Doug Martin and DeAndre Washington will be they'll be sprinkled in there. I mean, you don't really want Jalen Richard to become the full-time running back. You don't want, that's not his role. What it makes me think of, and I put it on the show sheet, and you know, and it's not apples to apples, but it reminds me of Lamar Miller when Lamar Miller was in Miami. And I remember it wasn't just me, but there was a bunch of people touting Lamar Miller when he left there, like, oh, now that he's going to get all these touches and he's so efficient, let's see what he, I can't wait to see what he does in Houston. He's going to be great. And it didn't work out that way. So I don't think you want Richard getting 10 to 15 carries, but if he can add another 3, 4, 5 carries a game, great, to his typical total of 2. It won't hurt. Or if they have to throw to him more because Doug Martin is so bad at football, or DeAndre Washington, you know, doesn't do anything in the running game, then that helps as well.
Well, it's funny, that team is widely known by everybody that they're blowing it up and trying to get picks and do all this stuff. I know Amari Cooper's on the trading block. There was a lot of talk this week that Derek Carr might even get traded too. So the fact that they don't have a true number one running back, they probably don't really care that much that they don't, you know, at this point.
Yeah, that's what, you know, Jeremy was talking about. They should have drafted a running back. I don't think it matters. That team is trash.
And yeah.
Even if they had a good running back, I don't know that they'd be able to use them correctly. They have a wide receiver one that they can't use correctly. Well, with Derek Carr, the problem is, you know, his cap hit does drop to a more manageable number next year, $7.5 million. So if they wanted to move on from him, they really could. I'm just looking at his dead cap from last year. It was $40 million, and this year, $32.5 million. But yeah, so next year it drops to $7.5 million. Year after that is $5 million. So they really could get out of that contract after this year if they chose to. I don't know if it's that Derek Carr's bad. I don't know. I do know that their offensive coaching is terrible.
Oh, my God. There's so much wrong.
Yeah, I think everyone's heard me trash Greg Olsen at one time or another. And that's another guy I do hope gets fired soon. and their offensive line play is just not very good. And Derek Carr's getting beat to shit. And he's just dinking and dunking. I don't know what the offensive philosophy is with that team, to be quite honest with you.
Well, the other news that happened was Ted Ginn Jr. He was placed on IR. And just like with Hyde being traded and Chubb stock flying, Twitter was blowing up that Tre'Quan Smith is rising, that you got to go out and get Tre'Quan Smith. What do you think about Tre'Quan?
Austin Carr.
What?
Hey, you want to buy some Austin Carr?
Really? You don't like him?
Tre'Quan Smith is... No, I like him a lot. I don't know if that's going to be like necessarily Tre'Quan Smith's ticket to become like a wide receiver one or something like that. I think they're going to use Austin Carr. Tre'Quan Smith might get a little more love. I wouldn't expect him to shoot up, you know, this year. I mean, after all, he is still a rookie. But what do you guys think?
Well, I mean, we've seen rookies perform with, well, specifically with Drew Brees, and not that long ago, with that Michael Thomas guy. not comparing.
He's an anomaly. Talent, he's so good.
The talent level is obviously a little different there, but it's right. definitely going to open up some targets. Ginn had 5.5 targets per game. It's going to open up snaps. Ginn had a 63.6 snap share. So Smith is definitely going to get some run in there, and I'm looking forward to it. He's a guy that a lot of people like as a sleeper in Dynasty.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt his value at all.
Yeah.
Well,
and there's certainly room for another target on that team. You know, the tight ends, apparently Josh Hill's a thing again all of a sudden because Ben Watson hasn't really been doing anything. But outside of Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, I mean, there's definitely room for another guy to come in there and make a splash. And I, you know, the thing is, what are you going to pay for Tre'Quan Smith? Because you're not, you know, he's not going to, like Jeremy said, even if he has a decent year for a rookie, it's not like he's going to be a league winner, I don't think. So if you drafted him in the 4th round, are you throwing out a 3rd? And if you owned him, would you accept the 3rd round pick for him?
No, you're not going to accept a 3rd for him. Your expectations are higher than that. That's the thing. You know, I'm not going to probably be able to afford to buy him for what I think he's worth right now. On a dynasty team, absolutely, I want Traquan Smith. But if I'm trying to win right now, this season, I mean, I'm not looking at trading for him. I know that. I mean, not for this year.
Well, here's the thing, though. I will say this. So his snap share has gone up steadily.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it kind of jumped from week one to two. His snap share was 6.9% the first week. He's all the way up to 70.5% now. His routes run has also dramatically increased. He ran 25 routes last week, or in week five, excuse me. But he only had three targets. But I don't know. Do you think a second gets him? And would you be willing to pay that?
I'd be willing to pay a second for the guy, but I don't know if it's going to do it. Right?
Yeah, I'd be willing to pay it. I don't think I would trade him for that, though. You know, and for me in the listener league, he helped me get my first win. Woohoo! When he got Drew Brees's 500th touchdown.
Oh,
that was awesome.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, it's week seven, and we have the same question coming up every single week with Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell was supposed to report during the bye, and this is their bye right now, and he still hasn't reported.
That guy.
Well, it came out earlier in the week, actually, that it was more likely he was just going to wait until, I guess, their practice week, which would be, what, next week for week
yeah.
eight?
Yeah.
I'm just Googling him real quick. Lev.
No worries.
Yeah, there's nothing new there.
All right, well, cool. Well, if there's nothing else to talk about with Le'Veon Bell, we did get a question from Rob Walsh in our Patreon, but we also have a follow-up from last week's Patreon. And Shane wanted to follow up from something.
I just wanted to follow up that, yes. You know, I wanted to give kudos to you and Jeremy. At least
Thank
for
you.
1 week. At least for 1 week. You are correct.
Trading
for Doug Baldwin. Doug Baldwin would have been a good thing. You went 6 for 91, 15 and 15.1 fantasy points last week against Oakland. I forget where that finish was. It was definitely top 24. I don't know if it's an every week thing we can count on in a low volume offense, but he definitely had a good week last week.
Cool. All right. So then what Rob is asking us this week, he's in a 14 team super flex and he's 5-1 right now. So he wants to know, would you guys give up a 2020 second for John Brown?
I'd give up a 2020 second for just about anything. I might not be alive in 2020.
That was my response as well. I didn't say the alive part, but I was going to say yes, too. Well, I'm sorry, Shane. What were you saying?
14-team league, too.
Right. That's what I said.
And, yeah, I would definitely do that. And you know that I would because I gave up, what, a first and a player for John Brown in our 16-team.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. It's like Jeremy said, it's not necessarily even about the John Brown part. I mean, with 2020, that's 2 years from now, and a second round pick, and a 14-team league. So there's a lot of already negatives on a 2020 second pick, you know?
Well, yeah, you'll get that pick back after you win the season. Worry about the 2020 in 2019 or something.
So just a fun story about John Brown. I just thought it was fortuitous that this showed up. So, you know, I like to post our podcast basically everywhere.
Yes.
Short of just giving out demo tapes on the subway. I'll go ahead and put that out anywhere.
I'm sorry, Wade. I can picture Shane in Philly, like standing out, handing out little cards. Hey, here's a CD of my podcast, Dynasty Trades
check
HQ.
Check out the podcast, son. Check out the podcast, son. Yo,
preaching with a megaphone on the podcast, corner, like some of the religious right guys do on football Sunday.
Yeah, Shane, we should have done that in Vegas.
Sure, I would be way left of the right. But anyway, so I put it up on Reddit, and one of the Reddit doofuses, and I hope he's listening, but I doubt it. So this stupid shit puts, traded John a first-round pick for John Brown, LOL. So there's several things that I hate about this, and I hate how little things just gnaw.
Not the least of which is the LOL at the end.
Oh, my God.
First, listen, asswipe. I hope you're listening to this show, and this is even if this is the last time you listen to the show, go fuck yourself. It's a 16-team league, you jackass.
Oh, my God.
It's a late first-round pick. John Brown has been a wide receiver three, or let's start this way. He's been a wide receiver two twice. He's been a wide receiver three or better four times out of 6 weeks, right? I don't know if a lot of people play in 16-team leagues. Again, this is my first experience in it. And just a starter is hard to get, let alone a good starter. So you can blow me. Lastly, the LOL. Now, when you LOL at me dismissively like that, now, not like, oh, that was a funny comment, Shane, LOL. No, that's fine. When you do this in trade negotiations or something like that on Reddit, I want to find where you live, break into your house, pull you outside, and set you on fire. Now, I don't know if that's an overreaction.
It's a little bit of an overreaction, yes.
And I don't want people to think I'm a violent person. I'm not. I'm not a fighter. I'm not. So you know what? This person might be able to beat me up. But you know what I am? I am a stabber. So I would bring a weapon. And if he started to beat me up, I would stab him. Oh, and then set him on fire outside.
All right, wait. Come back.
How much I hate LOL. When you LOL at me like that, I seriously want to mash your face into just an unrecognizable pulp.
Okay, all right, hey,
if they also added the word literally into that? You literally traded.
Let me ask you something, though. You know what's really funny? You said this last week, too. You said that when we were talking about trades and bad trades, and you said the thing you hate the most is LOL. Literally, there you go. The next morning, I had sent out a trade offer to somebody, and their response to me, it was declined, but their response was LOL. That was it. And last week, I told you, oh, I don't get upset about it, you know, whatever. It's just, but I did for a little second there was this tinge of, oh my God, seriously? And I thought of you that I got upset about it. Then I was over it after a minute or so. But LOL, it just pissed me off for a second.
I might have rage issues. You know, I'm not going to deny that.
I usually don't, but I was upset. Yeah,
that is a trigger for me. When you're that dismissive of me, I want to just murder your existence. Not even you as a person, like every thought of you, like the entire history of you.
Eviscerated.
Basically, I just want to ether your soul.
The funny thing is, in the listener league, if that upsets you, in the listener league today, you are getting reamed by everybody for some of the trade offers you sent out today.
I wasn't going to put anyone on blast in that league, but they went into the chat room and decided to put me on blast. Dudes were trying to... They wanted me to trade them like Kenny Galladay and Tyler Boyd for like, oh, you know what? How about this? Tyler Boyd for Geronimo Allison. Why would I trade you Tyler Boyd for Geronimo Allison? First of all, Tyler Boyd has outscored Geronimo Allison. Secondly, Tyler Boyd is healthy. Thirdly, Tyler Boyd has draft pedigree, whereas Geronimo Allison was either a seventh round or an undrafted free agent. Fourthly, Tyler Boyd gets targets. Geronimo Allison is hyper efficient and he's performing on 3 to 4 targets a week and hasn't played in 3 weeks. So that's not apples to apples, but yeah, definitely. They put me on blast and I didn't. I kept it reserved. What I said was I respond accordingly to the offers that I receive. And you know why I do that? Because when you send me such a shit offer, it tells me that your player values are so skewed that you have no idea what's going on, so I'm going to offer you anything at that point.
Right.
It was really funny, and they were, and I was waiting for your response when I saw that stuff that was coming out. So
I felt like I needed to apologize to those guys, and I haven't yet because last weekend I was off the grid. I was busy the whole weekend, and went to the Ohio State game and all this stuff. And then I must have received like at least 7 offers from different people in that league, different owners in our listener league, and all kinds of trades went down. Like your buddy that just the orphan sent you a sweet deal, Mike Evans trade. I'm like, it figures the one weekend since we set this league up that I haven't been available, and I get all these trade offers, and then crickets. It was crickets before that weekend, and it was crickets after.
Yeah,
during that weekend when I couldn't do anything about all these trades and stay on the site. They're offering all this stuff, and I didn't even reply to most of them.
There was a lot of action last week. Yeah, there was a lot of action.
Oh, you know what? No, just looking through the trades, though, I do have to give an apology to Outhouse.
Apology?
No, because I thought his trade offer was worse than it is. It's not a particularly good one, but it's definitely not a trash trade offer. He offered me AJ Green for Tyler Boyd and Kenny Galladay. Which, all right, I can see that. I didn't accept that. I didn't like that even a little bit. But then someone else offered me Robbie Anderson and Richie James for Tyler Boyd.
Hmm.
Yeah. Why would I do? Why would I do that?
I got a couple offers that I thought were like, why would I do that as well? You know.
And then another one I got. Okay, so I just took back my my negativity towards Dynasty Outhouse. Now I'm going to give him some. He offered me Allen Robinson for Kenny Golladay and Tyler Boyd. I don't know that I would give up either of those players one-on-one for Allen Robinson right now, and I like Allen Robinson.
I think the funny part of it all, too, was that you were openly telling everybody that you were giving two-for-one deals.
Because now I have some depth in that league.
Yeah.
So I told everyone, look, I will trade two starters for one stud, because again, it's a 16-team league. I see other rosters and I see who, you know, I'm going up against every week and what I've gone through. There are a lot of teams, and I was one of them until I made a bunch of trades, where the last two spots was basically, is this guy alive? Because if he is, I'm going to start him.
Yeah.
There are guys that I consider myself good buddies with that I just can't swing a trade with. I know, Shane, you and I don't usually trade. Sipes and I haven't traded that much. We've talked about that before. And then also I got called out by this guy, Patrick McDermott. He's a patron. He's a listener. We're in a league and he's always tried to get Stephon Diggs from me. And he never offers me anything that, you know, compels me to trade Stephon Diggs away. Now he's trying to get he's trying to get Patrick Mahomes. And then he's like, okay, well, how about Aaron Rodgers? But this is what he sends me for Patrick Mahomes. And it's one of those things where you're just kind of there and he's like, hey, I'll give you Marcus Mariota and John Brown for Patrick Mahomes. And you're just like, what? I mean, you know, it's a one quarterback league. And so, okay, I'll downgrade to Marcus Mariota and I'll pick up John Brown. But it's just not, it's just just this far away from being compelling enough to ever do. That's what he sends to me. He must have sent me like eight similar offers. John Brown, Greg Olson, John Brown, Jordy Nelson. And then he finally switched it to Aaron Rodgers, but we're still talking. And it cracks me up, man, because I really want to trade with the guy, but he won't give me like Brandon Cooks and Marcus Mariota. It was too much. When I retorted, hey, I'll give you Aaron Rodgers, maybe even Patrick Mahomes, but you got to send me Brandon Cooks along with Marcus Mariota, because my other guy's going to be my starting quarterback regardless.
I would throw things at you in a one quarterback league if you tried that on me.
He's always doing that, though. He's the one offering, you know.
I understand the revising offers and sending similar ones because I'm harassing the shit out of someone in another league where he just keeps rejecting trades. So I'm like, all right, well, let me try this and this. No, all right, well, how about this and this? No, I mean, and he's rejecting them quickly. So I'm like, oh, well, at least he's responding in some way. You know what I mean?
You know what?
I just don't understand. I mean, you have to understand if you're going for Mahomes, you have to offer something to get him. And Mariota is not going to do it, and John Brown's not going to do it. You got to throw me a bone.
You're not following the rules of our podcast.
I love that Jeremy's plowing through. No, Jeremy's just plowing through.
You need to find a happy medium in between John Brown and Brandon Cooks, because that's an overpay on his part. I wouldn't do that if I were him.
Well, you throw John Brown at me, you're getting Brandon Cooks.
Well, let me just say one thing. Before you do your trade alert, let's hear from the Scouting Academy.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at dynastyfootballfactory.com.
Trade alert.
Oh.
Trade alert.
Okay, great. So what was the trade alert before we went into our sponsor?
Okay, so this is in a FFPC league where I am absolutely atrocious. 1-5
No way, really? I'm doing better in my league, but I'm like 2-4, I think.
Okay, but that's one. I'm 4-2 in the Superflex league, and I'm 4-2 in the FFPC. Obviously FFPC, but the Football Guys Championship one. Yeah, I started 0-2 in the Football Guys one, so I'm pretty stoked about that. But this league, where the trade took place, I'm an absolute dog shit. Amari Cooper is my best receiver. We've seen how that has gone. And I started Eli Manning
last week,
which, yeah. So that's happening. So anyway, I traded away Kerryon Johnson. And I received, and this was a little confusing to people the way I worded it on Twitter, apparently, but I traded away Kerryon Johnson for a 2019 first, which right now would be somewhere in the range of 101 to 1.3.
Well, then let me ask you this.
I voted for the picks. I voted for the picks on the Twitter poll.
It's just one pick.
Yeah. No, no. I mean, I voted for either of those picks.
Okay, I got you. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think
I'm not as confused as a guy who thought you were getting all three picks.
Yeah, he was like, "That's a great trade. Make that three first rounders, all three the first ones."
The funny thing that I thought with that though is that your team is such trash and you're the bottom of the barrel. If you did that trade, then you're technically going to have two picks in the 101 to 103 range because you'll have your pick and whichever one you just traded for.
I'm pretty sure that this might have been my pick.
You mean you're trading your you're getting your pick back. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because I, you know, me before the season, I'm balls out.
And sure, me too.
Team, I don't need those picks.
Yeah.
And, you know, but now that the season is crashed and burned, I'm like, hi, I would like that pick back, please.
Yeah, like I did in the listener league, except I didn't get mine back. But see, I took it as that you were going to end up having two in between the 101 and 103 because I thought you still had your pick. But either way, I think I would still do that trade too. Yeah.
I have a couple other firsts that aren't mine. But I definitely targeted that might get my first back. I did a Twitter poll on that, and the pick side, which again apparently might have confused people, so it might have skewed the results. But everyone understands that, right? When you put a hyphen in between numbers, that means a range.
It's very.
Am I doing that wrong?
No, you did
it
right.
You just could misread something when you. Okay. Yeah, I mean,
I'll just make it short.
No, but to say everyone, there's a lot of people that don't understand.
Okay. So with 100, look, we're not here just to talk fantasy football. I'm here to teach about life. So a hyphen in between numbers typically means a range.
You're a giver.
Or minus.
What a
but
guy.
In this case, I did not mean 101 minus 103.
Well, anyway. Plus you had it in parentheses and you said range right there. So, you know.
No. After that, I did that.
Okay.
Said, oh, you're getting three first rounders. Okay. Anyway, so it won the Twitter poll 62% to 38%.
Cool.
I could see that. It's pretty close. I like Kerryon a lot. Trust me, I didn't want to trade him, but just based on the circumstance, I think I'd be better off. And I clearly need a wide receiver one on that team. So, you know, depending on where I land, there's a good chance I'll be taking Nikhil Harry next year.
Cool. So then the other trade that we had here on the show sheet, we had a 12-team super flex. Now, is this your trade again, or is this a trade that we got from somebody else?
Oh, I didn't even know we have another trade.
Okay. Well, we do have a trade. It's a 12-team super flex. Someone, Ito Smith and Michael Thomas for Tom Brady, Kenny Golladay, and a 2019 first. Wait a second. That's a Jeremy trade. Look at his face.
You guys already answered what you thought of that one. We don't have to put that
super
on the
flex.
Show.
No, no. Let's talk about it.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's talk about it.
Kenny Golladay and a 2019 first. Oh, my God. Give me all the
Golladay side is a little bit better. I mean, all you're really getting for sure is Michael Thomas, but I love Michael Thomas. I own Brady, Golladay, and the first, and a buddy of mine's trying to get them for Thomas and Smith, and I have to Thomas and somebody else. I already have three quarterbacks besides Tom Brady, so he's expendable. But I can't give away Golladay and Golladay and a first. Just can't do it,
dude. I'm trying my damnedest to get Golladay because he had a bye week, and I'm hoping people forget that he is the next coming at this point. Like, I'm offering Le'Veon Bell, I'm offering all types of overpays because I don't give a shit. The kid is going to be that good.
I don't think Le'Veon Bell is an overpay.
Eventually it won't be considered an overpay because you got this superstar wide receiver number one guy.
And that's what I'm looking at. Like, look, that's fine. I'll take the beating on, you know, if someone wants to put it in a Twitter poll, like, look what Shane did. That's fine. You know, in 3 years when Kenny Galladay's top five wide receiver again for the third year in a row or whatever at that point, then I won't remember.
Hey, but man, Batman loves it. You're paying for a Ferrari, but you're getting a Ferrari. You're not going to be driving a Prius around. You're going to get what you paid for. And that's cool.
Well, we had another trade here, and I believe this one sounds familiar as well. James White and Emmanuel Sanders for Quincy Enunwa and a 2020 first.
Hmm.
a 16 team league.
How did you know that? Oh, 16 team, Ron. Is this a league we're in together?
it's possible.
Now, was this prior to Emmanuel Sanders throwing more touchdowns than
Josh Rosen? No, he tied Josh Rosen, right? And he tied Case Keenum, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes, it was, but it did work out very well because he had a receiving touchdown and he threw for a touchdown.
White and Sanders are going to help that team like right now, and that's and White maybe in the future. That's the side I like best. When people start talking about 2020 and 2021, it's so far in the future. I just can't get on board with it. I always trade that shit away if I can. So
yeah,
I mean, I'm biased there.
2021. Oh my gosh, that's a long way away. And isn't Quincy down for a couple weeks now, I think?
Yeah, I wrote about this in the waiver wire article when I talked about picking up was it Jermaine Kearse?
Over at dynastyfootballfactory.com.
Yes, every Monday we have a waiver wire article come out. Pretty good stuff.
It is good.
It's very good.
And it's the first one out there.
Probably. Yeah. No, I don't know if that's right, but we'll take it. No, definitely is. I have no idea if it is, but it definitely is.
I think it's the first Dynasty one. I bet. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the first Dynasty one.
I guarantee this much. It is the first one that I am a part of. But Quincy and Omwa, yeah, so I noted, like, you know, I was worried about starting him because of the mysterious hand injury that I heard about. But so I checked on Sunday. I checked. It said, you know, let me just Google Quincy and Nunwa hand injury. So I read through a few articles. I didn't see anything to be worried about. I said, let me fire him up everywhere, baby. And then he played 15 snaps and has a high ankle sprain now and will be out for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, that dude plays balls to the wall, and he's always seemingly banged up because he does. I mean, he's a metrics freak, but he also plays tough. And not all those guys that are metrics freaks play like that, but he plays tough. He plays all over the field and blocks and all that. And unfortunately, I want him to be better in fantasy football. He's just not a consistent, reliable guy. I mean, when he's out there, he's good, but he's not always out there. It's unfortunate. And in this trade, you know, you're giving up a banged up guy and a future pick for stuff that's going to help you win right now. So, I mean, it's inarguable there, unless you think Quincy Enunwa is going to be, you know, God's next coming, and that 2020 round first round pick, you're going to turn into some gem, and you want to wait 2 years for it. I don't know how that side's better. I don't.
Yeah, and I really do like Enunwa, but yeah,
one of my favorite receivers, dude.
Yeah. This team, you know, I'm trying to build it for a run now. I do have a lot of youth on the team too, so I could take the hit of Emmanuel Sanders, who looks like he should have at least another season in him after this, because I think the Broncos will hold on to him and cut bait with DT, who looks awful to me.
Yeah,
I think he's done.
Yeah, and James White, you know, that's probably the iffy is part of the trade, because he could basically just be scripted out of the game plan at any point, the way that, you know, Bill Belichick runs that team. Like, they could decide that those targets are going to go move to Julian Edelman instead of James White. But, you know, for now, I'll take it and try to move up the standings.
Cool. Well, before we wrap up tonight, we did have one last thing, and it was a Trash Dynasty trade offer, which, Jeremy, you got a Trash Dynasty trade offer that kind of piggybacked on another trash offer.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. It did. I mean, it was two in a row. First of all, the guy offered me Ronald Jones straight up for Tevin Coleman. Didn't qualify it at all. Just, hey, you know, here's a trade. And I responded back like, what? You had to give me something better for Tevin Coleman. Come on. And, you know, he sent back, okay, well, maybe I could get Ito Smith. So I'll give you Ronald Jones for Ito Smith. And I still thought that was kind of a trash offer, given what we know about Ito Smith. But, you know, it's that one's way better than for Tevin Coleman.
He's offering you Ronald Jones straight up for Ito Smith?
Yeah, that was his reply. That.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I'm wondering about that. I'm not a Ronald Jones hater, so I mean, I put it on there for a reason.
Look, I can't pretend to be a tape guy, and there's a lot of tape guys that, and metrics guys. Well, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that hate Ronald Jones. I'll take the second, or, you know, the second round draft pick all day over the, what is Ito Smith? He's a fourth rounder, fifth rounder,
An opportunity. Of course, Ronald Jones had the opportunity to run away with the Tampa Bay job if he did the job well. I get it. Ito Smith is maybe going to run away with you know, Devonta Freeman.
Smith hasn't been good.
Yeah, I'm just saying he might run away with that committee thing. But you're right. You're getting, a known quantity over what people want Ito Smith to be. Yeah. But the first offer was definitely trash. Like straight up. As soon as I called him out, he offered that as a retort. And so you guys, what would you do, Sykes? Would you accept that? Would you take Jones or not?
Me personally, no, I wouldn't. I would rather have Ito Smith than Ronald Jones. And I would.
High?
No, I'm not high. Scared. And how can you say that Ronald Jones is a known quantity? Well, listen, you're so happy with throwing out stats and stuff. What has Ronald Jones done so far?
I never said he was a known quality.
No, one of you two guys just said a known quantity.
The draft capital.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, Jeremy said a known quantity.
Ito Smith is a damn near fifth round draft pick. The only reason he's gotten on the field is because Devonta Freeman has made a paper mache now. And is falling apart every part of his body.
And what's going to happen next year? What's going to happen there next year? Because they go ahead.
Okay, and I'm sorry.
No. Everybody keeps saying Tevin Coleman's out the door. So if Tevin Coleman's out the door, you've got Ito Smith and Devonta Freeman, who, like you just said, is made out of paper mache. So what you're saying Ito Smith is just going to disappear and he's not going to be worth anything next year?
No, I think Ito Smith, and what I've always described Ito Smith is a Tevin Coleman light. So I'm thinking he's a guy that on his best Sundays typically can get you maybe 10 to 15 points on his best Sundays.
And what do you think Ronald Jones is then?
I think, you know, just based off draft capital and enough people that actually do like him have spoken about his, you know, speed or whatever and his playmaking ability. That's a guy that could probably, he still has RB2 potential in him.
Okay, and I guess, I mean, to me, I just think both of them are question marks. They both are prospects that could do something. And for me, I just like Ito Smith a little bit better. I mean, it doesn't mean I'm fucking high. I just like him better, that's all.
I am high, but that's not the proving factor. Like, that doesn't prove I'm high. The fact that, you know, I got weed bowls all around me, that's what proves I'm high.
So that's good. So, and listen, we'll hear from some of the people out there out on the Twitter universe.
Guys, let us know. Do you think Michael Sykes is high?
No, let us know. That is what I was going to say.
No, that would make more sense. Yeah. So let us know, Twitterverse. Who would you take right now? Ito Smith or Ronald Jones?
Yeah, and maybe, you know, Shane, why don't you put that up as a poll out on our Twitter account and let the listeners vote on it, and we'll talk about it next week. So, yeah, guys, go ahead and check out our Twitter handle, @DynastyTradesHQ. You can find polls, questions. You can send us anything you want. We'll answer you. We'll also answer you on our email account at DynastyTradesHQPod@gmail.com. And head on over to iTunes and give us a rate and review, because we all know how happy that makes Shane when we get good rate and reviews.
Yeah, seriously, guys, what's your goddamn problem? Get on iTunes. It takes all of 30 seconds just to give us a 5-star review. Be like, look, Michael Sykes and Jeremy Broen are great. They deal with that trained monkey, Shane Manila. They do a great job with him. You know, just something like that. I'll accept that. You can call me a trained monkey. That's fine, as long as you give us a 5-star.
That would be awesome. And check out our website, dynastyfootballfactory.com. You can find all the articles. You can find Shane's waiver wire stuff. You can find links to all the podcasts. We got a lot of podcasts going on with the Dynasty Football Network. And you know what? Listen, we also have a Patreon account. And Shane, you want to tell people about that?
Yeah, well, we're about to jump in and do a Patreon episode right now because we like our patron participants. What do you call them? Patrons? We like our patrons better than everyone else. Because they show their support for the show by being patrons.
We love you all.
Well, Michael does. I don't. there's written content on there every week. We update that. I'm in there posting some trades, some trade advice. Jeremy's in there with some parodies, giving you trade advice. There's the bonus podcast episodes. There's the uncensored episodes, which, again, is not safe for work. Hospitals, and especially not churches. Guys, stop listening to the not safe for work versions at church. I know it doesn't say not safe for church, but it's not safe for church.
Yeah. Or
synagogue, right?
And it's
or synagogues. Yeah, no, I found that out as well. Yes.
It's funny too, because this episode has a lot of that I'm going to have to edit out. So the people that are our patrons will hear every F that was thrown out in the show. So, all right. So great. Thanks guys for listening. Check us out next week. Give us a rate and review. Go on over to our website and we'll talk to you guys later.
Hey, we're the best. See you next week.
I'm an excellent podcaster.
Bye.
Jeffy.